produced a great wife for me, and you know, you're just going on. But Brother Poe's from Texas, so we're glad to have him here. Amen. We love you, Brother Poe. Take your liberty.
Amen. Thank the Lord for Texas. Hallelujah. If y'all ever get mad at us, it doesn't matter because we got our own army. And hallelujah. He said they one time is going to come down there and try to take our guns. And I was like, oh, Lord, this is going to be a long day for y'all. We got people that hunt hogs with machine guns, man. You kidding me? I have some friends. Y'all got them wild hogs up here? I got some friends that are very, 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 very wealthy, extremely wealthy. They don't give to this ministry, but anyway, I wish they did if you're watching. And but they do pay for my golf when I used to play. And I've been friends of my long time, and they hired some helicopters and went hog hunting in the helicopters. And I was like, hog hunting in helicopters? He said, oh, yeah, you get real low. Them hogs start running. He said, you're just leaning out there going, ka-ka-ka-ka-ka. He said, I'd like to burnt my barrel. My barrel was hanging down. And my Lord, you know, them things, they tear everything up. So we just begging people. I ate one, man. They're good. And you mix them up with a little pork, and mix them up with a little hamburger, mix them up with a little Jack Daniels. Well, you throw the meat out, you drink the Jack Daniels, you know, and then tomorrow, I'm joking, okay? I can feel the Vatican up there going, we got him. They had another joke up there in a long time. Well, never mind. So, I want to thank y'all so much for letting me be here, and y'all having Sunday night services. Amazing, what a good crowd. Is this the first Sunday night you said in like 3 or 4 years or something? Huh? What y'all been doing? What a good crowd. Looks like that's what we need to start doing. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the more church you have, the better off you are. It's what the Bible says. So that's a great crowd. I mean, I didn't. Hallelujah. That shocked me. It's hard to do. Matthew, I don't understand all that other stuff, you know, but to me, I like church. That's where I became. That's where I dropped drug dealing and Jesus dealing. I started dealing Jesus, and I love church. I love church. Amen. I want to read to you tonight well-known scripture, Matthew 18. We want to read the 18th verse. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. You may be seated. Thank you very much for standing. It is a understatement to say that no one lives in a dimension of 100% faith. There's nobody does that. I brought my shortest message to church tonight because this was the first night that y'all had service in 3 years, so this is the shortest one I got. Okay, there's three sentences. One, two, there's a verse and a story, and then some sentences. So this may be about an hour and a half. But there's nobody can live in the dimension of 100% faith all the time because we're humans. And things happen that really sometimes can throw us for a curve. And in doing so, we get more focused on the situation instead of the answer. And we try to divide it up. And I want to share with you some things tonight that I saw in the Bible that increased my faith, because remember that the Bible was written for the Jews, not for the Gentiles. And so when you read the Bible, you're reading it as a living, breathing letter to what he at that time was calling the bride of Christ. Later it's us. But about several years ago, I don't remember how many years ago, my little wife was crippled. And we don't know exactly what happened to her. We do know that she was kicked in the back by something, and I don't want to say, you know, what it was, because I don't know what spirit it was. But she was kicked in the back very hard. I had been kicked in the back in Cleveland, Texas. I'd also been kicked in the back in Kingsport, Tennessee, and there was a footprint on my back when they took me to the emergency room. And so, and I was out playing golf when it happened. So my wife was kicked in the back, fell to the floor, and told me something kicked me in the back. And I rushed to her, and I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Something kicked me down, knocked me down." Well, I began to try to get her to get up, and she couldn't move. She was crying. Her legs were working. And I picked her up and gently laid her in the bed. Now, this is several years ago. And laid her in the bed, and I began to do what the chiropractors do, you know, pull on the legs and see if you can relieve tension. And we didn't have any clue what was going on at all, period. And, you know, everything was hurting. She was crying. And so the next day, the same thing happened. The third day, same thing's going on. And this began to go on a little longer. Well, I was having to cancel every revival because there's nobody at my home to take care of my wife except me and my children. That's one of the bad things about evangelizing, is your wife really doesn't have anybody to depend on, so to speak, unless they live where their family is, and we don't. We live 5 hours or 4.5 hours away from our family. And so it was me. So I was having to cancel revivals and push them down the hills, what I call it, tell people my wife's sick, we don't know what's wrong, her leg won't work, and she can't move. Well, my wife could lay on her right side with no pain. But any time that she laid on her back or her left side, it was excruciating, screaming. There was no way we could do that. After a few weeks of having to pick her up and sponge bath her, bathe her, and, you know, take her to the restroom and all this, I began to realize this is something a lot worse than we need to get a chiropractor involved. So we took her to the chiropractor, and he began to try to adjust her, and she could not take the pain. She was just screaming. My wife has a very low pain tolerance anyway. I have an extremely high one because of all the drugs I did. But, I mean, that's true. I mean, I did so many drugs. I mean, they gave me, what's that stuff called, hydrocodone? Yeah, and 750 milligrams, and I was driving my truck around. And I went to the doctor, and he said, "Who drove you?" And I said, "Who drove me?" "I drove myself." And, you know, I had my back hurt real bad. And he went, "Where is your wife?" Because he thought that stuff had made me delirious. And he went out to see if my wife was in the lobby, and he said, "Your wife's not out here?" And I said, "No, why?" And he goes, "You can't be driving with that kind of, that's enough to make an elephant drunk." And I said, "You calling me an elephant?" You know, I mean, I don't feel all that. I don't, you know, it's kind of messing me up, you know. So, but with her, I mean, she could take a Tylenol headache pill, and it just about makes her drowsy, you know. It's just like, I just feel so, I said, "Baby, it's a Tylenol. It's for a headache. It doesn't do anything else. It's just headache." You know, she's one of those people. And so this pain was so excruciating that when we took her to this chiropractor, he began to test her legs and everything. She was just screaming. I had never heard anything like that. And she was screaming and clawing me. She got fingernails. And I mean, she was literally, you know, producing blood on my arm. And I'm like, "Dude, she's in pain, okay? And I'm in pain now. Give me some hydrocodone." Not really. I don't want y'all to go out and go, Brother Poe eats hydrocodone. But I should have not said that, but my wife won't hear it. And but I don't know why I say stuff like that. That's so stupid. But it's funny when I do it to me even. And so I was telling him, man, she's cutting me with her fingernails, you know. I mean, I've been cut by – I was cut by a Mexican girl. That's the reason I never dated any more Mexicans. I dated one Mexican girl, and I put my arm out to break up with her, and she cut me with an ice pick. And she was speaking Spanish. I didn't know what she was saying. All I knew was I'm bleeding. That's it for me. You know, I mean, it's like I told her, Daddy, come home or I'm going to kill her. And you know, get her, bring her home, I'm about to kill her. And he, what, she cut you? I said, man, she cut me. He goes, well, we, you know, that's one of the things we do. And I go, well, my, why didn't y'all tell me that? I thought y'all made margaritas. And so my wife was hurting so bad that she started getting bed, what they call it, bed sore. Because she couldn't, you know. Well, now I go, I went down to Walmart and I bought a bigger mattress. Now, we got one of those nice mattresses, but then I bought one to sit up on top of it made out of foam. And it didn't work. It just kept being more painful and more painful. And now I'm at 2 weeks that I haven't preached. And I'm going to tell you the truth, man. It was getting in my mind that I'm not preaching. I don't know what's wrong with my wife. I went in and prayed for her, and I expected her to get out of the bed. I went in there, and I said, I'm tired of this, and you're getting up out of that bed. And I laid hands on her, and I went to praying, and she went to praying, and we both felt the Holy Ghost, and I said, get up, and let's go. And we tried to move her, and she screamed bloody murder. Now, I'm going to tell you the honest to God truth. That kind of just... I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I've seen cancers fall off. I've seen people get up out of wheelchairs. I've seen eyes that didn't have pupils. The pupils become exposed and come out. I've seen all kind of diseases be healed. And here's my wife that I had great expectation, 100%, and suddenly it doesn't happen. And now I'm like, what in the world did I do wrong? I feel guilty. Has anybody ever been there besides me? You really expect it, and you say it's going to happen, and it doesn't. And no matter who you are, sometimes those things set you back a little bit, because now you wonder, or if you're like me, you wonder, did I say the wrong thing? Did I pray the right prayer? Did I make the right commands? Did I do this? Did I do... So we begin to look inward, and we begin to... And so we'll try it again. Has anybody ever tried it more than once on the same issue? Raise your hand if you have. This is not a Catholic church. We can participate without going to... Your kids will have to look up and see what that means. And I've done that. And I did that. I walked in there again. And it was like a couple days later. I'm not saying my wife's big or nothing like that. I used to be able to pick her up and just, you know, but when you get older, you see what I'm saying? You can't pick up as much. One time she stepped out of the shed and hurt her ankle. And I hollered, I got you. And I swooped down in to pick her up. And I walked about 3 steps with her. And I said, we're going down. And we both went crawling in the house on our knees. I said, my back gave out. And she said, I can't walk. I said, well, our kids are both gone. Oh, my God. Ain't nobody to tell you. We crawled up on the couch. We just looked like two old people saying, oh, God. We laugh about that still today. She was like, she'll tell you, man. He was like, I got you, baby. And I swooped in like Superman, about 3 steps. We're going down. Just couldn't handle it. Now, I'm not saying she's gotten bigger. What I'm saying is I've gotten weaker. I'm smart. You know, I mean, you know, some of those men, my chest is right here now. It used to be up here. Something happened. It just said, I quit. Went on layoff or lay down, whatever. And so my wife, I was having to pick her up. She's crying. She can't sleep. I went in there the third time, Pastor, and I was almost enraged. Now, I have been gone from the evangelistic field for 21 days now. And I said, God, if you can heal a blinded eye, we don't even know what's wrong with her. Now, we have been to two different doctors. Neither one of them can tell us what's wrong. The chiropractor can't tell us what's wrong. The medical guy, you know, the one that's still practicing. You know, it's on the wall, practicing medicine. One time my doctor said, here, I'm going to give you this. If it doesn't work, come back in 30 days. I said, then give me what you was going to give me in 30 days. We don't make a relationship out of this. You know, you've got something more stronger, more powerful, give me that. He said, all that kind of stuff don't work on you. One time a nurse going to give me a shot, said, this ain't going to hurt. And I screamed like a girl. I told her, I said, you lying heifer. Man, that thing hurt bad, boy. I walked out of there like this. Don't go back there. They got some big old needles back there now. My wife was, get in the car. But I walked in there that third time. I said, Lord, if you have ever done anything, you can still do it again. And I mean, I got all prayed up, and I walked in that room. I opened that bedroom, and I said, Sherry, you're coming out of that bed tonight. I'm telling you right now, we went into prayer. I said, get up out of that bed in the name of Jesus. And she's trying. She was struggling. And she said, baby, I can't. I said, yes, you can. No, I can't. I can't. Yes, you can. And I reached over to grab her, and I said, I'm going to help you, you know, because the apostle pulled that man up, and I said, I'm going to help you. When I did, she just screamed and just went limp. And I backed up, and I'm thinking, what am I doing wrong? She laid there for 40 days. 40 days. Sore on her right side because she can't lay on any other side. And for 40 days of praying, suddenly, somewhere around 21, 22, 23, I began to not pray as strong and begin to wonder what's wrong with me. How come I can go to this church and somebody's got a thyroid problem and they get healed, a tumor that disappears? I went up in my office and looked at all the diaries I've got of every one of diary. I've got 32 years of diaries and hundreds and thousands of testimonies. You can go on my website and see miracles right now. And I'm going through that going, but my wife is laying in the bed with something wrong, and so it can't be God. It's got to be me. So I started getting down on myself. I started just degrading my own faith. It was like, well, when I'm walking in there, I'm going, baby, how you feel? You all right? What do you need me to do? And now the prayer is not really prayer. The prayer is, Lord, you see what's going on, God. Lord, if you'll just, you know, move. Them first prayers were like walking in there with boldness. It was like, right now, something's going to happen. We're not going to put up with this around our house. I'm telling you, devil, you're out. I mean, I put it all on everything. I did everything I knew to do, and none of it was working. Has anybody been in that situation besides me that you've done really everything, honestly to God, you've done everything you knew to do, and it just wasn't working? Would you raise your hand? Because I hope I'm not by myself on this. I was so just distraught because it was like, I can't figure this out. What is going on? Sitting in the recliner. I can't work. My wife, I'm cooking. I'm cleaning clothes. I'm doing everything in the world to try to keep the house together. No income. And suddenly it's like, what has happened? Everything has crashed. My brother calls me and he says, hey, man, how's Sherry doing? And finally I became, see, at first I was like most people, well, God's going to heal her. God's going to heal her. She's doing all right. I mean, God, the miracle's coming. I expect her to get out of bed tomorrow. And then it was like, well, how's Sherry doing? Well, you know, we're still believing for a miracle. But we don't know when it's coming, but we believe it's coming. And then it was like, well, she's hurting. And then it was like, well, I mean, it's getting bad, man. My head's getting messed up. And then it was like, you know, I don't know how much more I can take. Has there anybody besides me been in a situation where you say, I don't even know how much more of this I can take? That's where I was. I was in this situation because I didn't have a church family. I don't pastor a church where we could get a 24-hour prayer chain going. It's me and my wife and my children. That's it. Me, my wife, and my children. In fact, nobody was calling and saying, hey, man, where are y'all at? Nobody was. It was when I called preachers and told them I got to move it down the hill. And they say, why? And I say, my wife is sick. And all they would say was, I hope she gets better. Boom, click. That was it. And so I couldn't even get encouragement from anybody. It was like almost we got put in a cocoon. And so I'm sitting in my recliner on my couch or at my desk. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? Nobody can find out what's wrong with my wife. And so when my brother called the last time, he called me and he said, man, you sound terrible. I said, Kelly, I can't sleep. I said, it's bugging me. I've seen dead people. I prayed for dead people, and them come to life three times. Dead. Bowels discharged. Dead. And my wife is sitting in there, laying in there on her right side, and can't move. What is the difference? This miracle is easier than that miracle. This miracle should be just easy. And this miracle over here where the man was dead in Kilgore, Texas, that to me would be the hard miracle. This would be the easy miracle. But I said, I can't. And he said, Leslie's on her way. That's my sister-in-law. And I said, well, what for? And he goes, you need a break. You're getting overwhelmed. So my sister-in-law comes down, and she starts taking care and washing the dishes and doing all this. And I'm just like talking to her like, I don't know. I don't understand. Maybe I'm not even supposed to be preaching anymore. I got so messed up in my own faith. I got to thinking, man, I mean, has God quit using me? I mean, is this the way God's telling me that you're done? Is this the way God's telling me you're finished? I used you for these purposes, but we can't go any further. Do I need to quit? But why would it do it to my wife instead of me? And I'm getting so depressed. And then suddenly, I want to read something to you that I read that we have not really read like we should read. I said to you tonight, verily I say unto you, everybody say singular. That whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Ye, that's one. But in verse 19, put that one up. And he says, again, I say unto you that if two, in other words, he went from one to two. Think about it. He's telling one person, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That man and that person is full of faith. But Jesus then realized sometimes they're not full of faith, and it may take two of them to do it. And then he said, so that if two of you shall agree on touching any one thing, that it be done of them and my Father which is in heaven. But then it dawned on him, wait a minute, two of them might not even have enough faith at the same time. And he dropped down to 20, and then he said, where two or three, now he keeps adding to the mix. And watch what he did. First of all, you're by yourself in 19, and you're saying, I bind it, and he's not even around. You're just going by the word. Verse number 19, he's saying, you bind it, and you touch it, and then it'll be done in heaven. Number 20, he says, two or three, there I am in the midst of you. It changes the whole scenario. So sometimes when you're by yourself in verse 18, you got to get somebody to help you in verse 19. And if two of you can't get it done, then you got to get somebody else in verse 20, because by the time you get to three people, there's somebody in that batch that's got a lot of faith. Why don't you stand and clap your hands to the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not preaching long. I'm just preaching straight. Nobody here knows how much faith I have. We don't have a faith gauge. There's not anything that walks in here and goes, Brother Poe's 90.6. Or, I mean, they took my temperature the other day. It's something I can't remember. They got these radar guns. You know, they shoot you this far away. Why don't they put them on the border? You know what I mean? Stop all anybody coming across. It'd be like, I'm coming across. Zzz. Where'd he go? I don't know. Nobody has a faith gauge. We don't even really know how much faith we have ourselves. Because my story tonight showed you how, as a faith preacher, that I can even go through a valley to where I don't even know how much or even if I have faith. Because what I'm looking is for results that aren't happening. And when they don't happen, and they don't happen over and over and over, then sometimes you, if you're by yourself, you get so discouraged. It's like, I guess I just don't have, you give up. And you're still praying, but you're praying in vain repetition now, not in power. You're praying in pity instead of power. I was in an altar service one night, and it looked like it was so powerful. And I'm walking through, and I start right here, and I'm thinking, my God. And I'm just laying hands on everybody, and the Lord said, stop and listen. And I stopped right here, and I went, my God. Oh, Jesus, this sounds so good. And then I walked right here, and I was like, my God. People are just praying everywhere. Hundreds of people in the altar. And I stopped. He said, stop and listen. And I stopped right here. And I went, yes, yes, Lord, yes, yes. And I started walking. I stopped right here. And he said, stop and listen. And I went, yes, this is what we need. And suddenly the voice of the Lord spoke to me. And he said, they are praying in pity, not power. I don't answer pity. If he answered pity, then all you'd have to say is, oh, woe is me, and it'd be answered. He answers power. He answers power. But sometimes the devil knows that too. And so by the test of your faith, sometimes you go in there with emotional power, thinking the louder I holler, the greater faith I have. But it's not, because you're just hollering and all of a sudden it don't work and you get real subdued because it didn't work. My whole thing tonight is to share with you why it's important to have people in the church pray for you and pray with you. Because if you're going through a situation and you can't get it done by yourself, my Bible says, grab somebody else. And if you too can't get it done, then he says, grab two other people, because when there's three of you in there, I'm going to be in the midst of you. You're not just doing it by yourself. Now I'm in the middle of it with you. And through Jesus Christ, all things are possible. Can you give him some praise right now? Give him some praise right now. There's nothing too hard for the Lord, and we know that. And sometimes we need to attack that problem in the name of Jesus. Be seated. Let me close. I am so disturbed, not about this virus little thing. What has disturbed me is the decline of the American church. Some people asked me years ago, well, you want to go to Africa? I said, people are trying to get out of Africa. No, I don't want to go to Africa. I'm not called to Africa. Okay? I'm just not called. I mean, I'm not going to go over there to sightsee, you know, have a crusade on one day and then spend 3 days sightseeing and lion hunting and all that. I'm not into all that. And then they asked me, you want to go to South America? We're going to have some crusades. I said, how many? And they told me, and I said, how much? And then they told me how much money I had to raise, and I went, what? I mean, what are y'all doing over there? I thought their money was cheap. And then they asked me, do you want to go to the Philippines? I went to the Philippines. Y'all have had so many crusades over there, there ain't nobody without the Holy Ghost. That's what I told them. I mean, maybe I'm wrong in doing all that. You know, I probably need to shut up sometime. But it just falls out of my mouth. I said, literally what I said. He said, you want to go to the Philippines? We're going to have a crusade. I said, y'all going to the Philippines again? Y'all been going to the Philippines since the year 2000. Everybody should have the Holy Ghost by now. Y'all pray through 300,000 or 400,000 every time you go over there. The population ain't but 10 million. I can add that much in the GED. They can't even have babies that fast. It's like, man, we need to have some more children. We need the Holy Ghost crusade. What? You know, I mean, let me tell y'all something one time. This is funny to me. I'll get off the subject. But we used to, right here in America, I was there. So, see, this happened. I was sitting up in the bleachers, and we had this Holy Ghost rally, and me and a pastor friend of mine sitting up the bleachers. And the way that they were going to count to see how many got the Holy Ghost in this big old meeting, which I won't call, but it's called, first name is General, and you can figure out the rest of it. And so I'm sitting up there, and they're going, you know, I'm up in the bleachers, and I'm like, my God, you know, and I was all pumped up. It's like, my God, let's do it. We're up there praying, and, boy, people come down, and they're supposed to hold their finger up if they got the Holy Ghost. Somebody got the Holy Ghost. And there's some dude up there, you know, I don't know who these guys are, but, I mean, I can count. And they're up there going, there's one. Well, they have these screen things, and they're saying one, and there's two, there's six, there's four, there's seven, you know. And then they go over here, and they're like, there's six, there's nine, there's 12, and they're saying it on the microphone. There's three, there's four. And these numbers are just like lottery numbers. You know, and I'm like, dude. And then I'm really into it. I'm going, yes. And then all of a sudden, the pastor's mother and daddy that founded the church come walking down the aisle. Now, these people had the Holy Ghost since Shep was a pup. They probably got the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. You know what I mean? And I went, I started to say his name. Anyway, I said, hey, there's your mom and dad. They're going to get in the mix of it. And she's down there doing like this. And the counter went, one, there's one, and there's one. There's two more. I said, Rick, your mom and daddy founded a church and didn't even have the Holy Ghost. After church, we went down there and told her, the mama, I won't say other name. I said, sister, you were like Balaam's donkey. You were used, but never filled. And she said, what happened, Brother Poe? I said, you got counted tonight. She said, I've had the Holy Ghost 50-something. I said, you better go on up there. They need to subtract two off that list. But I'm called to America. I'm not called to, you know, the Philippines and South America and all these places. I've been called to America. But what I've seen is a decline of spirituality in the American church, while there's an increase of spirituality in the Africans. And but they'll walk 3 days to get to a service and stand in the sun. And we won't come to church in a car that's got air conditioning and a heater. Something's upside down on that. Something is wrong. They will stand and dance through the whole service. And some people never stand in the whole service here in America to praise Jesus. Something is wrong with that. We should be the leader, not the follower, in the presence and the power of the Almighty God. It should be greater on the American church. But we have, the spirituality has declined. And one of the reasons is people don't want the pure demonstration. Now, these people are from Tyler, and they've preached around their church for I don't even know how many years. They can tell you stories that's happened in their church of the supernatural that'll make you laugh. One night we had a millionaire, me and Stone King, and one of those saints got so drunk in the Holy Ghost that when she went to get gas, she went in to pay for her gas and couldn't speak English. They called the cops. Right or wrong? I'm just going to tell them because I got witnesses. A lot of people think, Brother Paul probably makes that up. No. And they called the cops, and the deputies come out, and when they saw how she was dressed with long hair, they said, oh, she probably one of them Pentecostals. And they called Brother Littlefield and said, we got one of your people up here trying to pump gas but can't speak in English, and what do you want us to do with her? You know what that was? A testimony to every one of the sheriffs. It was a testimony to the people in the 7-Eleven. It was a testimony. This lady has so much faith. She was drunk and the Holy Ghost didn't even know it. She's pumping gas. Can you see what I'm saying? We need more of that and less of these rituals. We need more of faith. We need more. Hallelujah. We need those kind of demonstrations. You can be seated. I'm going to tell you one more. Since they're here, I saw them today, and I was thinking, dude, where am I at? You know, because I'm like, I know her, but I'm not in the right church, am I? Or is this one of them flare-ups, and I'm really living somewhere that I don't, you know. I mean, I have been known to be in two places or three or four at one time. you'd have to, never mind. And have you, I'm just asking you, because I mean, you can say, no, Brother Poe ain't going to condemn you or nothing. Have you ever seen in your church me preaching and people slain in the Holy Ghost everywhere? They're out drunk, right? You got to pick them up. Have you ever seen Sister Littlefield, the pastor's wife, so wiped out that her hair shouted down and she couldn't even walk out? We had to carry her out drunk. I didn't even get to eat that night. Brother Littlefield said, I got to take care of my wife. I said, what am I going to do? Have we? Yeah. And it wasn't like one time a year. When I walk in there, I'm not going to preach until something. I'm not going to quit preaching until something happens. Because they expect. But they also have had issues in their church. They've had problems in that church. They've had devastation in that church. But what that church has learned is when somebody comes to the front, it doesn't matter if they've had the Holy Ghost 20 or 30 years. Every one of those people have been trained. Let me just give you another one, all right, right now. She's heard this before. He's heard it before. Brother Littlefield's mama had a dog. It was a Cocker Spaniel. First Cocker Spaniel in Carlisle, Texas. First house dog in the whole little community of 300 people. All of our dogs, we just kind of swapped. You know, you'd feed a dog for a day or two, and then he'd be gone. Another one'd show up. That was your dog. You know what I mean? Like, what kind of dog you got? I don't know. He might not be here long. And so Betty Littlefield's dog gets out of the house. And see, she was the first one to ever have one that was in the house. So everybody was like, dude, she has a dog in the house. It would be like a gold mine. Everybody couldn't believe it. They'd drive by the house. Cocker Spaniel runs out, gets hit by Paul David Harris's family, laying there dead. Betty didn't call. Oh, you know what she did? Brother Paul, yes, my dog's dead. Daddy went, okay. She said, come raise him up. She said, the whole community's right here. You know what Daddy didn't do? Oh, well, we don't raise dead dogs. Daddy said, the whole community's up there looking at that dead dog? See, down there, y'all ever had a party line? Do y'all know what a party line is? You raise, you know, as kids, we love it because there'd be like three or four people on the same line and you could listen to them. And then you knew about them as a kid, like, she drinks every night.
Ozella Cox was one of them. She'd get on there and start cussing us kids. Are you little blankety 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 blanks on this phone? And then we'd do with a grown-up voice, no. I come from a mean little community. She shot her husband twice. It's the only place we had in the whole community we could sneak up and watch television. She had them screens, and she'd pass out from drinking whiskey and wine, and then she'd be laid out, and then we'd come up as kids and be going like. When she'd wake up, she'd start just throwing stuff at the screens, you know, just. And so everybody has heard that the dog's dead because the phones are ringing. And so Daddy gets in that Bonneville Pontiac and drives up to the community and says, all right, he gets out. Here's that dead Cocker Spaniel. And here's what he said. God, some paraphrasing. God, you see all these people around here. They ain't coming to our church down there, down on the bottom of the hill. They don't believe in your name. I'm asking in the name of Jesus as a testimony in your power to raise this dog up. And they're all just standing there looking at the dog. He told Betty, throw him in the chicken coop. He'll be alive in the morning. They wasn't nobody even went to work the next day. But you know what was alive in the chicken coop? They were all standing around, and the dog was scratching to get out of the chicken coop. We need more of that kind of demonstration of the Holy Ghost. We need more of that kind of demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And it's going to take one, two, or three of us to make that happen. Can anybody give him a little praise right now? That's what we need. So when people come up, you're supposed to attack the issue. What distresses me is when we call for people to help pray, it's almost like, Lord, or they'll bow their head. That's pity, or it's pitiful, right? What has happened to where we're not like, she needs me. He needs me. Right now he's going through something he can't handle on his own. That's why he's up there. Now I don't need to just sit down and say, Lord, I hope you can help him. I need to get on up here and know him, let him know when he opens up his eyes. I'm standing right there beside him. I'm standing right there beside her. I'm standing right there with her, and whatever they're going through, this is a family, and we're all going to go through it, and we're going to pray, and God's going to deliver it. Is anybody getting this message tonight? Somebody say amen. You can be seated. So Leslie knew me when I was a rocker. She's probably the only one really alive still today that knew how mean I was. Most, she knew a lot of it, not all of it, obviously, but Leslie comes down there. Leslie's one of these girls that she just tells you point blank. She's like me. Sister Pose kind of softens it. Leslie will just say, I don't like that smell of that food. You know what I mean? She's one of them girls. Like, don't listen to him. He's lying. I mean, that's the way it is. I love it, you know, because when we was playing rock and roll, she'd go, do not look at that girl. And I'm going, how do you know it's what I'm looking at? Because you've been playing to her all night long. And she's got a boyfriend. And I'd look at Leslie and go, you can mess up a man's night quicker than any, you know, because when you're playing, I don't know if you know all this, when you're playing rock and roll, you're playing, but you're. Yeah, get down on it, you know, and so she comes down, she's sitting with Sherry, and I'm sitting in there like this on the couch, and I'm like, my God, I ain't made no money. Lord, I ain't preaching. Ain't nobody calling, you know, ain't nobody hugging my neck. I'm out here on this island by myself. I don't know what to do. I just, you know, I just kind of felt like the joke about the man that found the the fairy tales, the fairy's globe on the beach, and he rubbed it. And the genie appears and says, give you 3 wishes. He said, oh, I want a pink Cadillac. And suddenly it was like, boom. And he's like, oh, it works? Oh. And she said, wish number 2. And he said, I want the whole truck. I want the whole trunk full of $100 bills. And she opened it up, full stacked, perfect $100 bills. And she said, you got another wish? She said, I'll save it. And he gets in his pink Cadillac that's full of money. Full of money. He's driving down the road. And a song comes on. And he says, I wish there was an Oscar Mayer wiener. Boom. That's the cleanest joke I know. And but can you imagine this little weenie? I'm rich, but I don't know. That's what I've always thought of. It's like a dude had a wreck and all that. But see, that's what I felt like. It's like, man, nobody's calling me. Nobody's patting me on the head. Nobody's. I'm in this by myself. Plus, I got my sister-in-law down here that don't even have any compassion for anything. That's the worst companion you want. You know, I got a sister that way. I don't even hardly talk to her. You know what I mean? It's like, Glenda, is everything going good?
Why wouldn't it be?
I don't know.
Why did you ask that question? I don't know. Well, talk to God. You hear from him.
You know what I mean? And so Leslie's going, and I'm going, well, Leslie, what can we do? She goes, what do you normally do? And I said, well, I done done all that. She goes, but I mean, why'd you stop? And I went, stop what? What you normally do? What are you talking about? What do you normally do? When you're at church and somebody's crippled, what do you normally do? Well, I done done it. Well, why'd you quit? It didn't work. Well, try it again. I did. I tried it so much, you're down here. And she's looking at me. She goes, Gordon. And I said, maybe God just don't want me to preach anymore. She said, what? Do you realize how many thousands of people's gotten the Holy Ghost since you started preaching? I said, well, God sometimes just runs the gamut and it's over and you just have to admit that you just don't have it anymore. And so I'm using all the excuses that I can as a preacher to say, I guess this is a sign from the Lord. And my sister-in-law, she's not a midget, but she's real short. And she got up in my face and she said, Gordon Poe, if God don't want you preaching, he can shut your mouth, not cripple your wife. I looked at her and I wanted to go, but you're my brother. And I went, what? And she said, if God didn't want you preaching, he'd shut your mouth instead of crippling your wife. Now, me and you are going to start praying. And I said, well, let's go for it then. Honest, she was doing most of it. And I'm out there going, you heard her, God. You heard her. Amen. Praise God. That's right. Go on with it, Lord. Man, she's praying like I couldn't pray. Women pray in different words, you know. Men are like, do it. Get up. Women are like, Lord, you know that she needs to get up out of that bed. Now I'm asking you to honor my request and do the impossible. Although it looks impossible to me, it's possible with you. And us men, we got them like, get on up, get on up, get on up. And she's praying all that. And I got my hand on her back. We're walking through the house. And we're cursing every spirit in the world. And all of a sudden, I walk back in there. And guess what? My wife's laying there. I looked at Leslie. I went, that's exactly what's been going on for 35, 40, nearly 40 days. And she said, but Gordon, are you going to do what you preach? Or are you just going to turn out to be one of them preachers that preach it? Let me tell every one of you, the hair on the back of my head stood up because out of my little sister-in-law's mouth, she asked me one serious question. Are you going to do what you preach? Are you just going to be a preacher that preaches it, in other words, and will not see it through to the end? And I turned around to her and I said, I ain't never quit on nothing, and I ain't quitting on this. You know what happened on the 40th day? I'm laying there. I done started praying for her with my hand on her head. Every night I went to sleep with my hand on her head, prayed before and I get up. But on the 40th day, I woke up and I said, God, there's always something that happens on the day of 40. It's victory or defeat. And all of a sudden, something popped in her back and her legs went straight out. And she stood up and she said, Gordon, I'm standing on my own feet. You know what it was? I needed Leslie down there, and I needed Sherry down there. And it took three of us that time. It's all right. My wife's still walking and ain't never had the problem since, because sometimes you can't do it by yourself. You can be seated. I'm closing here. There's a song, Lean on Me. When you're not strong, I'll be your friend, and I'll help you carry on. Y'all didn't think I could really sing, did you? That's a 67-year-old voice. You know, sometimes we just got to have somebody to help us. But the key is, who is willing to help? Not who needs it. Needing it is admitting, I'm just not making it. And there again, we've got those little Pentecostal faces. I don't want nobody to know that I'm in dire straits. And, you know, but faith says, you know what? I'm going through hell. And more faith says, that's my sister. She's going through hell. I don't even have to ask her. You know, they have these prayer groups, and I've got to quit. They have these prayer groups that drive me insane. Drives me, a lot of stuff people do drives me nuts. It's like, maybe that's the reason I ain't never pastored. You know, it's just, I wouldn't have all this mess. They started, just to get people to pray, they started having focus prayer groups. That was my DJ voice back in rock and roll. It's like, you can do it, baby. Come on, I get out. Focus prayer groups. You know, when you get the Holy Ghost, you come in and you start praying, and it's like, but you're not part of the focus prayer group. And then you get into this, well, what does that mean? Well, it's we're a little bit better than the regular prayer. And so you graduate, and it's like, I'm in the focus group. And then I heard one church says, we have corporate prayer. And I'm thinking, corporate prayer? Why are we changing all the words? What? I mean, I got to go after church, get on Google to find out what in the world is corporate prayer. Never heard of it. Google goes, cannot find. You ask Siri. And Siri says, corporations definitions means an establishment of, and I'm like, no, Siri, corporate prayer, what does that mean? A corporation definition means, and I'm like, Siri, whoever she is. You know, that sucker works all night long. But what we did was, now they got that other one, what's it called, Alexa. I used to date a girl named Alexa, and she talks just as much as that sucker does. I'm telling you right now, I went through the house the other day, and I said, baby, you know what? I used to sing Smoke on the Water, and all of a sudden I hear, dun, 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 dun. I looked around at her, and I went, somebody better pray, because my mind's all messed up with it right now. She had that little thing on. I didn't know that thing could just, you know, just, I don't know nothing about all that mess. She does. She'll say, Alexa. Is that his name? Alexa, play. And then she'll say a gospel record, you know. And then she'll go louder. The other day, I'm getting off track. The other day, she got so mad about something on Facebook. And she, first time I've ever seen my wife, really. There's two times I saw her go mad, really, 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 really mad. Maybe three. One of the times she hit me. I mean, she really did. She's the only woman to ever knock me down. She hit me, knocked me down. I decided I'm going to marry her. I might need this one day, you know. Get her, baby. And I was trying to break up with her. She didn't want to. Anyway, but she's got so mad. Now, I don't know the name of the man. Y'all probably do. But she got so mad about this political stuff, and Facebook, what do they call it, censored her because she said something about America and all that, and they censored her. And I proved that Facebook censoring is machines, it's algorithms, not humans. And you can go on my website or on my Facebook page and show, it'll show you how I proved it. And so they censored her, and it made her so mad that she went in there and talked to that little box and said, play God Bless America, and it's by a country guy. What's his name? Who? Greenwood, that's him. Well, I'm outside, and I hear, God bless America. And I'm like, what in the world? I open up the door. Live dead, I love. I was like, hey, what are you? And my wife's so mad, she's going, louder, louder. I was like, what? Stand beside her. I was going, woo, woo, woo. And she goes, I don't care. Y'all need to cut that off that DVD. But see, she loves people. She loves church. But she was in a bad position. But now that she's healed, she realizes, I'm healed now to help other people be healed. I'm not healed just to sit on the bench and go, hey, one time God healed me. I'm healed because when somebody else needs it, I need to be one of the two or three down there praying for them, because the Bible says when we touch any one thing, there he is in the midst of it. And so if I can get Jesus involved in her situation disappears, which strengthens my faith in Jesus and my walk with God. Now, tonight, there's no doubt that people have been under stress. There's no doubt. Everybody, I would assume. Most of the people. But I want to know, are there people here that have been so stressed that all you can think about is fearful subjects? If you are, stand up, because I'm going to pray for you tonight. All that's going to go away. Is there anybody here? Everybody here is peaceful. You don't have any fears. Okay? Then we're dismissed. Are you telling me that this entire church, do you want me to go to another spirit? Because there's some more spirits in here. You? See? Now watch, baby. Or, I mean, well, you know what I mean, you know. I'm not that young. In my imagination, running. No, 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 no. Running away with me. I know a lot of songs, a lot of songs. So you have faced stress. And it's not wrong. See, the reason young people are facing stress now is because y'all always had pretty easy, and now all of a sudden everything's stressful. You know why? Because they want you to grow up in stress instead of peace. That way everything is like, I don't know, can we? I don't know, can we not? I don't know, like Three Stooges. Who can? So you're stressed. Okay, stand up. Now, who else will admit it? Because here's the thing. If there's a look. See, now watch. This is where Brother Poe's getting. We don't admit our issues. So how, brother, can I help somebody that not standing up for help? How can pastor help people when you won't stand up? I need help. Right? How can other people help you when you're not willing to take, I need some help? See, that's the Bible. Everybody that Jesus healed approached him. I need to be healed. The only one that didn't approach him was the dude that was laying on the bed. But his four friends knew he wanted to be healed, so they went and got him because he couldn't do it himself. So I want all of you that are stressed, this is real stress, I want you to come up and I want you to just line up right here. If you want to do 6 feet apart, put on a mask, I don't care, Jesus works through a mask. But we are going home tonight in a totally different perspective, a totally different mind. Now let me tell you this. I'm going to talk to you because years ago, relax. See, you're so stressed. Look, you can't do all that, okay? Yeah, see how white-knuckled you were? Yes, you can't do that. Look, put your hand in my hand. I don't have nothing. I mean, I have brains, but I don't have anything. Look here. You have a mission in life. So you're going to go through things to accomplish things. You can never graduate staying in the second grade. But every grade is harder than the other one. And so in the spiritual world, you have to go through things to know how to approach things for other people. Jesus was tempted 40 days of everything in the wilderness by himself so he would know how to heal everything when he come out in 40 days. Okay? So there's where you're at. You have a lot of stress. Is it physical, mental? All, your whole body, you're just, you know why? Here's what will happen. Now, I know this is weird. Stress becomes a disease. Bitterness becomes a disease, okay? But stress becomes another disease. Stress causes inflammation. Inflammation causes your joints not to work properly, which turns around and makes you lazy, which is called depression, and depression turns into serious illnesses. Okay? Now this is a lot different than now, baby, how old are you? 13, and you're stressed? And what is it, mental or physical? It's physical. You feel stress in your body? You do? Okay. You're really way too young to feel stress. Okay? But if you do, I believe that because you came forward. And so I'm not going to, you know, say that you're under less stress because you're younger than her. I'm going to say, I think it took a lot of courage for you to come and say, Brother Poe, I'm a young lady, but I live in a stressful situation. You're under stress, mental or physical? Mental. Now, see what happens. I'm explaining this. I know we don't care if they're even here anymore, right? Mental stress begins to mess with your whole spiritual being. Physical stress stresses out. Mental can come into the physical. But the spiritual stress, the mind, when your mind gets stressed, then you don't sleep properly. Then you're not thinking properly. Thoughts that really shouldn't be there are there. You're trying to think of something and it doesn't work out. And then you get like I was, because I was mentally stressed. It was like, why isn't this working out? And you get to where you're down on yourself. And the Lord is saying, like he told David, encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself. Mental or physical? Both. And see, that combination is real deadly because what you have to do is learn how to take deep spiritual breaths. Deep spiritual breaths. You have to learn that when you're in these situations, now listen to what I'm telling you. When you're in these situations and they come at you, what you need to do is step away from it spiritually and physically and breathe. And say these words. The peace of God comes upon me. The peace, don't say anything else. The peace of God comes upon me. And you're going to feel like a warm blanket that'll just come upon you. And then you can step back in the situation because you're not by yourself. We're going to pray, and you're not even going to be by yourself tonight. But when you are by yourself, remember there was people that prayed for you, and there was a preacher that spoke to you, and now you know what to do. What's the worst thing is to have stress and not know what to do about it. Mental or physical? Both. Same thing. The peace of God comes upon you. So step back away from your situation whether it be spiritual or physical. If you have two, you have to decide whether this is physical or does it originate in the spirit. Now watch this for you two. Two people. Watch what happened. The lady said the issue of blood, right? What did Jesus say? I curse you back to the fountain, the root. In other words, I'm not cursing the symptoms. I'm healing you from the fountain. I'm going back to the beginning. So I'm not going to heal you from the stress. I'm going to heal you from what causes the stress. And when I heal you from what causes the stress, you won't have the physical reaction to it because it's a spiritual thing. See what I'm saying? Go read it for yourself, and you'll see that he said, I'm going to take it all the way back to the fountain because I can heal you for today or a month or a year, but if I don't get rid of the original issue, the original fountain, then it will come back. Now, we have all ladies up here. Now, I want to know if there's two ladies per person. Why don't y'all scoot over just a little bit? Just scoot way over there to that polka dot thing. And there, yeah, that way you got some space. And I want to know if there's two ladies per lady that are willing to come up and stand with these ladies to pray against the spirit of stress. If you are, you can bring a mask, however you want to do it. Because now I'm going to teach y'all how to pray against this. We're not just going to come up here and come on, hurry, hurry, hurry. We're attacking things. We're attacking it, see? We're attacking it. We're not just going to come up here and say two or three prayers and two or three words and then we're going to go home. What we have, we actually have a litany of things. We have a 13-year-old child, young lady. We have a middle-aged young lady. Not say, how old are you now, 18? 20? Jesus. I'm getting old. 20. No, never mind. I'm not going to go any further than that. But see what I'm saying? It's not just one category. How long have you had the Holy Ghost?
30 years.
Yeah. I've been in Bridgeville 30 years because, I mean, I knew it had to be 30 years. We were both young. I mean, right, we were. We were just kids, right? But even though you've had the Holy Ghost 30 years, you see what Brother Poe's preaching? It don't matter how long you had it. All of a sudden, something attacks you, and you can't figure out how to get rid of it. And our human instinct is to shut down until it goes away. And the Lord says, attack it to go away. I'm going to say it one more time. I'll say this. Watch what the Bible says. And the gates of hell shall not... The word prevail means withstand. The gates of hell cannot stand when we are attacking. It doesn't say, it says, in other words, the reason the gates of hell is standing is we are waiting on God. God said the gates of hell cannot withstand, cannot prevail against it. When we attack the gates of hell will crumble. Why? Because it's written in the Word of God. So we're going to pray about stress. And I want you, if y'all feel comfortable to touch somebody, I want y'all to do that. Men, everybody in the church, stand. And we're going to put our hands forward to these ladies because these are our family. Now, if you don't get mad when a spirit attacks somebody in your family, you need to get the Holy Ghost. Because it ticks me off when I see good people getting attacked by the devil and then nobody cares. That makes Brother Poe real mad. So tonight, we're going to put our hands, and if you know their names, I want everybody calling out their names like we did this morning in church about a backslider. Now we're going to call out our brothers and sisters' names because stress has gotten them in a bind, stronghold, and we're fixing to break it in Jesus' name. Throw your hands up and begin to pray and rebuke the spirit of stress. Rebuke it in Jesus' name. God, I see it. I believe it. We're asking you, Lord, to demonstrate right now. God, these precious people have come forward because there's a spirit that has attacked them, a spirit of stress, whether it be about the situations in life. Some of them have a mental problem. Some of them have a mental stress. Some of them have an emotional stress. Some of them have physical stress. But God, right now, let that go, sister. Let that go right there. Let that go. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you would release this young lady of that stress tonight. Come on, church. Something's about to happen right here. Stress is leaving this congregation. In the name of Jesus, by your power, by your authority, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Let it go right now. Let it go right now. Let it go right now. By your name, Jesus, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. You're up here for a reason. Everything's going to be all right. That's it. Let that go. Let it out. Let it out. Let it out right now. You feel it coming out. You feel it loosening. Come on, let it go. Let it go. Let it go right now. I release you in the name of Jesus. I release you in the name of the Lord. Come on, people. Let it go. Let it out. Pray, church. Pray. Pray, church. Pray. There's got to be deliverance. There's got to be deliverance. There's got to be deliverance. Let that go, baby. Let that go. Let that go. Let that go. That's good. You're doing good. You're doing good. Come on. Come on. Come on. When you walk out tonight, you've got to be a different woman. When you walk out tonight, you've got to have joy. You've got to have peace. You've got to have peace. When you walk out tonight, you've got to have peace. God, I'm going to have peace in the name of Jesus. There you go. There you go. Let it go. That is. There you go. There you go. There you go. Now you're in the Spirit. Now you're in the Spirit. Now it's in the Spirit. The Spirit is working upon you. The Spirit is working upon you. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. The Holy Ghost is working tonight. That's what we've been praying for. What we've been praying for is happening right now. Come on, church. What we've been praying for is happening right this second. Where two or three are gathered in His name, He's here. He is here. He is here. He is here. He is here. Fear not. Jesus is walking these aisles. Jesus is walking this place. Jesus' presence is in this house. Jesus' presence is in this house. Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. It's binding. It's loosening. That thing that's bound you is loosening. This will be the best night's sleep you've had all year. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. We plead for you, God. We plead.